Good morning, City Light Benson. It's good to be with you guys. As Tyler said, yeah, my name is Alex. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's my joy to get to preach the word this morning. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 3. That's where we're going to start out. Just fair warning, we are going to be jumping around just a little bit, so be ready for that. But guys, it is the fall, all right? Like Labor Day weekend kind of marks the fall kickoff for us. And the fall means a couple things, right? Number one, it means that the Cornhuskers are already starting to disappoint. It was just such low-hanging fruit. I've got a microphone. So what? Now, you got to listen to me. What's up? Oh, I just alienated like way more than half the room. Okay. it's the fall. So, you know, it's not going to be any frost warning for a little bit. But the second thing though, you can maybe get on board with this one, is that all of our sort of ministries, are starting to launch, right? Starting to kick off, right? The fall is a fun time to be a part of City Light churches, right? People are coming back from vacation and schools are starting again, right? If we got any middle school, high school students in here? Yes? No? Maybe? Yeah, so school's starting, so I'm sorry about that one. You guys might still be in mourning a little bit. But one of the good things is we actually started our high school ministry. That kicked off just a few weeks ago. And I want to give a huge shout-out to David Hansen, who's our director of the high school ministry. And you can give it up for him. He's doing awesome. And just to tell you a quick story about David, he did something a couple of weeks ago that, like, was one of the coolest things I've ever seen done in a high school ministry. Like, I did a lot of crazy things when I was in that role, but he did something last week that totally topped it. Like, we were sitting in my office and we were talking about like what he was going to do for kickoff. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, you have anything planned? And he's like, yeah, man, I think we're going to have a huge bounce house for the kids. I'm like, oh man, that's great. Are you going to do that, you know, at Rose Hill? Like, you know, where are you going to do that? And he says, no, I think we're going to do it like here in the sanctuary. And I was like, what? Like, here, like in this room, you know, there's a lot of stuff, things I can break. Like, are you sure that's a good idea? And he's like, well, I mean, I already gave him a deposit and I can't get it back. And so I was like, oh, he's asking for forgiveness, not permission. Okay, I get that. Well, I kind of like that because that's how I roll too most of the time. But it was just awesome. Like a bunch of, you know, high school kids, middle school kids got to come out, be in a bounce house, get those like weird body armor things and like hit each other with blow up inflatable sticks, hear about Jesus, right? Get food. What more could you ask for? It was awesome. So again, if you're a high school kid, middle school kid, and you want to jump into that ministry, please talk to David. He would love to get you connected. Another thing that the fall means is like, if you've been a part of City Light for a while, we tend to plant a lot of churches. And so this is a picture of City Light Kansas City, right? That's happening, guys. Yeah. And so you recognize it's a little big, it's a little grainy, but that strapping young man down in the corner of the couch, that's our very own Carl Plager, who's a part of City Light Kansas City right now. He's kind of rolled into the core team. He went to Kansas City to pursue a job, and he wants to be a part of what God is doing there. It's been so fun because God is already doing an incredible work through them. He's adding to their numbers, right? Their city group has already multiplied from one into three, which is just really cool. And I talked to Eric and Jason, who are the lead kind of church planters and pastors down there, and they said that they're going to start their core team gatherings next month. Right? So having breakfast together, casting vision, going over core values, like that's already starting next month, and then they're going to launch at the first of the year, which is just super exciting. So keep those guys in your prayers. We're really, again, we're excited about Kansas City, and not to kind of push the City Light name out there or to push a brand or anything like that, but we're excited about seeing the gospel advancing, right? To seeing another gospel-centered church planted in that city and see people come to know Jesus. And it's just a really cool thing to get to be a part of with you guys. And so that's kind of what's going on this fall. And if you're new in here today, again, I just want to welcome you like Tyler did. And we're in the middle right now of a core values series. Something that we go through every single fall here is our core values, right? And we kind of go through this because, like Tyler said last week, all organizations have a tendency to drift, right? Or drift away from the things that they valued at first to kind of just start doing weird things, right? And so every fall, we want to just kind of recalibrate and say, okay, these are our core values. These are the hills we're going to die on. These are the things that are going to shape everything that we are about as a church community. And we've kind of summarized our core values with the directional arrows, you know, that you see there on the screen, right? They're down, up, what church? In and out. Yeah, good job. And so that's shorthand to kind of summarize everything that we value as a church. And by far the most important arrow on that screen is the down, right? That's the gospel. It's by far the most important. The gospel is the good news that God himself came down and did for me and you what we could never do for ourselves, right? He didn't just stay up in heaven barking orders at us or give us some good advice how to be better people through church attendance or religious activities, but Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came down to this world, lived a perfect life that you and I should have lived, died the death that we deserved, then rose victoriously from the grave so that if our faith is in him, y'all, we have eternal life. We will have a resurrection like Jesus's. And maybe that's all you came to hear today to hear. You need to know that, man, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, you're forgiven. You're connected back to God forever. And that's the good news of the gospel that we need to be reminded of every single day. And then because of that down, that good news demands a response from us. And so all the other arrows are just our response, right? Tyler talked about last week, the up, right? It's like our reaching up towards God, being formed more into the image of Christ. A couple weeks ago, we talked about in the community aspect. And this morning, I get to talk with us about our outward response or responding outwardly with the mission of God. Now, I know what just happened, right? For most of us in this room, I think often when someone like me gets up here on stage and says, hey, today I want to talk about evangelism and the mission of God, right? A lot of times in our minds we can go, oh, okay, well, I mean, it could be worse. He could be talking about tithing, right? Like there's kind of two sermons you want to skip when you go to church. It's like sharing your faith and sharing your money, right? But today, you know, I want to come before you and I want to argue that being a part of God's mission, that responding in this outward way because of what Christ has done for us is the most fulfilling and exciting way that you can expend your life. That's my big idea for this morning, is that being a part of the mission of God is the most fulfilling and exciting way you can spend your life, because if you spend your life pouring yourself out for the mission of God, if you spend your life chasing after eternal things, then your life is guaranteed to matter on into eternity. Your life is guaranteed not to be wasted if you will spend your life pouring it out for the mission of God. And so today where I'm going is I just want to share three truths with you from the Word of God, okay? Then we're going to apply it, and then we're going to get out of here. So we're going to jump in. Truth number one, okay? Again, this is the first truth. It's that mission starts with God, okay? Truth number one is that mission starts with God. So before we talk about evangelistic strategies or what you're doing in your city groups, you have to remember this truth. This is the foundation for everything that we're going to do here, is that mission starts with God, right? God is the primary and the ultimate missionary, right? In the very first page of the Bible, we see that God created this world. He created it good and perfect, right? And then he created humans to have this perfect, intimate relationship with each other and with himself. But then by page two of the book, we screw everything up, right? Sin enters into the world. Relationship with God and with man is broken. And the rest of the Bible is God's mission to restore humanity back to himself. Like that's the rest of the entire book. It's about God ransoming humanity back into relationship with himself. And then he sends his son, Jesus Christ, who's the ultimate missionary, to ransom and redeem us back into a relationship with himself, those who have fallen in sin. This is what the Bible says about Jesus. This is John chapter 3, verse 17. It says, For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him, right? God is sending his son into the world like a missionary. 1 John 4:14 says, and we have seen and testified that the Father sent his son, Jesus, to be the savior of the world, right? Like there's this sending happens. Jesus is our ultimate missionary. And then this is what Jesus says about himself in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. He says, for the Son of Man, this is Jesus talking about himself, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. See, like, we have to remember, again, first and foremost, that God is the ultimate missionary. That mission starts with God. It's his mission. It's his Holy Spirit that empowers us to do his work in the world, right? If we start thinking that we care about lost people more than God does, stuff starts to get really weird, okay? We have to remember that this is God's mission that he has called us into, and he will move regardless of us, right? So, again, before we start talking about evangelism, sharing our faith, whatever that looks like, I want you to take a deep breath, breathe in, breathe out, and imagine and remember that first you were the beneficiary of our missional God. right? I remember, you know, for me, when I became a Christian when I was a sophomore at Wayne State College, and, you know, the Harvard of the Midwest, you know what I'm saying? And I remember, you know, for most of my life growing up thinking that God didn't like people like me, that God hated people like me. Like, that's why my dad wasn't around. That's why people in my life kept leaving. That's why stuff in my life was so hard. It was because God did not like me. He wasn't interested in people like me. He wanted people that whose lives were all together, whose parents were still together, who had, you know, all these things happening for them, who hadn't made the mistakes that I had, who hadn't messed up their life quite like I had. And I just thought, man, if there is a God, he doesn't like people like me. And I remember the first time that I heard this verse, Luke 19:10, that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I thought, oh, that's different. Because I'm lost, right? Like I need Jesus to save me. Like I never really heard that before. And so, City Light, may we never forget that first and foremost, mission starts with God. And we in this room are the rescued ones. We are the beneficiary of God's missional outwork, okay? So that's truth number one, guys, is that mission starts with God, okay? Truth number two, we learn that we are God's missionary people, okay? Truth number two, what we learn from scripture is that we are God's missionary people, right? So again, mission starts with God, but for whatever reason, the Bible says that he's chosen me and you to work this mission out in the world, right? And this is great news because, again, this means that my life serves a purpose that's greater than myself. My life serves a purpose that's greater than my own happiness and my own advancement and just getting more money, right? But my life serves to point other people to Jesus, right? And this is really, really good news for us because it rescues us from all these false finish lines and from just striving after things that are ultimately going to end up in somebody else's garage sale, right? And so this is what Jesus says about us in John chapter 17 and verse 18. He says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." All right, so this is 2 Corinthians 5:20. Paul sort of echoes these same sentiments. He says, "Therefore we," right? Those are people who call themselves believers in Christ, "are ambassadors for God," or ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So guys, again, before we get into activity, what does it look like to be God's sent ones? We have to remember our identity, right? Is that we are God's ambassadors. We are Christ's representation, right? An ambassador is someone someone that a king sends to another king on behalf of the one who sent him. And so Christ says, hey, that me and you, if we call ourselves Christians, we are ambassadors for Christ. So the question is not, hey, are we missionaries? Are the people in this room sent by God? No, we are sent by God. The question is, how are we doing representing Christ in a fallen and broken world? Now, I know for some of us, we might be thinking, okay, well, that sounds good. Okay, I'll be an ambassador for Christ. That's great. But what does that look like for me practically? Like, how does that work itself out in my day-to-day life? Well, guys, I just want to give you four things. And if you're taking notes, you might want to write these down. But four practical things that'll help us sort of live out this missionary identity where we live, work, and play. Number one, the first practical way to begin living out this missionary identity is that we pray, okay? We pray, guys. Prayer is the most important thing that missionaries do, okay? They pray for their workplace. They pray for the people that they're coming in contact with. Like, we will get nothing done of eternal significance if we don't pray. Like, the people that you know and love who don't know and love Jesus yet, we won't see anything happen in their lives unless we're praying, begging, and asking the Holy Spirit of God to do something in their lives. God, it's God's mission. He is the one who saves. And again, we can do nothing of importance if we don't first pray. That's number one. Number two, we share, right? We look for opportunities to share what Jesus has done in our lives, right? Evangelism doesn't mean me telling you what to do or how to live your life. Evangelism means, hey, let me share with you what Christ has done in my life. Right? I don't need to tell you what to do with yours. Let me share with you how good my God is, right? And so that's evangelism. And I picked this tool up, or it's sort of a grid that I learned from Gavin Johnson a long time ago. Please don't tell him I'm quoting him. But it's just this grid that we think through in terms of who we share our faith with, right? He shared this maybe 5 years ago. It's just really stuck with me. But he says three things. He says, we pray for doors, we check doors, and we respect doors, right? We pray for doors, we check doors, and we respect doors. And so praying for doors means when we go to a block party, when we go to hang out with friends, when we go to our workplace, right? We're praying, God, would you give me an opportunity to love someone? Would you give me an opportunity to share my faith? Would you give me an open door? So we pray for doors, then we also check doors, right? So what this looks like is, you know, you bring up God in a conversation, you talk about your city group or your church or what's going on, and you're going to know in about 5 seconds whether or not that door is locked, right? Like if that person starts looking at you like you got a third foot growing out of your face, you know, just all crazy, that door is locked. and that's okay. That's okay, because the last thing is we respect doors, right? If the door is locked, if they're like, oh, I don't really want to jump into that conversation, they start steering the direction in some steering the conversation in some other direction, that's okay. Like we can respect that, because it's not up to us to kind of kick that door in and make sure they get saved, right? This is God's mission, right? He is going to do what he's going to do. Okay, so we pray for doors, we check doors, and we respect doors. That's the second thing we do as the ambassadors for Christ is we share. Third thing, to live out this missionary identity is we team, okay? We team together. Now, I don't know if you guys know this, but mission, evangelism, like that stuff, that is a team sport, okay? This is not for the solo Christian all-star, okay? Jesus, we kind of learned this from Jesus, right? So the first thing Jesus does when it's time to start mission, the first thing he does when it's time to start his ministry on earth, what does he do? Yeah, he gets his disciples. Like he gets a team of missionaries together. And then what does he do in Luke chapter 10? He sends his disciples out in teams, like in pairs, in two by two. Even Paul, right? The missionary mastermind, right? The incredible church planter. He never went anywhere by himself. He always had Timothy with him, Barnabas, Silas, right? And then he never leaves a place that he's planted, and never leaves a church that he's planted until he raises up a team of elders, right? We team together. Mission is a team sport. And Paul, he kind of draws out this idea in Romans chapter 12, right? He talks about like a body, right? He uses the metaphor of a body instead of a team, but it's the same idea. Let's look at this. Romans chapter 12, starting in verses 4-6, Paul says, "For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, have one body in Christ. And individual members of one another, having gifts that," what's that word? "Differ according to the grace given to us. So let us use these different gifts," right? Paul is saying that, you know, we've been saved, right? So not only are we ambassadors for Christ, but we get saved into a team. We get saved into a body with different functions, different roles to play, different strengths. And Paul is saying that all of these gifts, just like in a body, are indispensable. Right? If you have a body that doesn't have a hand, like that body is going to hurt. That body is going to suffer, right? There's this this book called Total Church, and it captures this idea of teaming really well. I think we have a picture on the screen. They say when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to mission and outreach, it's like a cord. It's like a cord with these three strands, right? And one part of the cord is building relationships. Another part of the cord is sharing the gospel. And the last and final piece is introducing people into community. And that doesn't really have a specific order, right? All of those things kind of happen as mission goes forward, but they argue that, hey, if you don't have one of those three pieces, evangelism falls apart. It doesn't work, right? Like if you're building relationships with people, but you never actually share the gospel, you're just kind of making friends, right? But if you share the gospel without first building a relationship, it's not going to go super well, because people don't care what you know until they know you care, right? If you can gather people and bring them into a crowd, but you aren't, again, sharing the gospel or, again, going deeper, stuff is not going to work as well. And so, guys, the good news, if this is true, that evangelism is this team sport, this team activity, then the good news of that means, like, we don't all need to be great at the same gifts. Like, you don't need to be awesome at talking to new people and meeting strangers and building relationships with them, right? Introverts, you can kind of breathe in and say, okay, thank you. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to have to go up and talk to new people and strangers. That's scary, right? If that's not your strong suit, that's okay. You don't need to do that, right? Like, you have your gifts and I have mine, and we all need each other. Like, you know, for me, I have no problem doing that. I can go up and talk to people and, just form a connection kind of with anyone, give a weird, awkward side hug, break the ice, do something, right? But for some of us, that's not our gifting, right? But for me, if you were to ask me to, like, plan the city group picnic in the park, it's not going to go well, right? Like, that is just not going to happen, right? I'm going to, for sure, like, not get an accurate head count, right? So I'm not going to know how many people are coming or how much food to bring, right? I'll forget to send out an email, you know? I won't call ahead, so we probably won't have a place to go in the park, right? Like, that's just my gifting. That's the way God's wired me. And we need people in the body that can actually do that, right? Thank God for Tyler, right? Like, we need people in the body that can work an Excel spreadsheet, right? We need people in the body that can open up their homes. We need people in the body that are great at initiating gospel conversations. We need people in the body that are great at confronting people over their heart issues. And so my point is that all of us, even though we're wired very differently, all of us have gifts that are indispensable for the kingdom work. All of us have gifts that are indispensable for the body of Christ. So man, if you can gather people, right? If you're great at inviting people, but you're not good at sharing your faith, man, gather people into your city group and have Bob, you know, share the gospel with them, right? We work together as a team. We team, right? Last one, practical application number four is the thing we do to live on our identity as our sent ones is we celebrate progress, okay? We celebrate progress, right? If you're like me, you typically want to know, hey, what is the win, right? What is the win in evangelism and sharing my faith? Right? How do I know that we're doing a good job when it comes to mission? Is it just baptisms or having people pray a prayer? Like, what is the win? And so I was in Thailand a couple months ago, and the missionary there kind of showed me this thing he called the Jesus scale. And I was like, oh, that's really, really good. So if you kind of see this scale, it's from 0 to 100, okay? And so 0 is like the most hardcore, adamant atheist you know, right? Like you just say the name Jesus and they just start shaking, right? Like that's a 0, okay? And 100, like all the way on the other side of the spectrum is Jesus, right? It's like perfection. It's being fully formed into the image of Christ. And just so you know, right, we don't ever get to that 100 this side of eternity, right? But again, 100 is perfection. It's being fully formed into the image of Christ. Then he says there's also kind of a 50, which is like a brand new Christian, right? So people at all times in their life are somewhere along this spectrum, right? Everyone you meet is somewhere kind of on this spectrum. And he said, what if the win in mission, what if the win in evangelism is simply helping someone move one step closer to Jesus? Like, what if that was the win, right? What if it was helping someone who's like a 5 become a 6, right? Because again, we're going to run into people all the time that are all over the scale. And what if the win was simply helping someone move one step closer to Jesus? And if that is the win, if that is like what evangelism looks like, if that's successful mission, then mission can happen anywhere, right? It can happen in your city group just through a gospel conversation. It can happen in here. It can happen out around town if you know, decide to buy somebody groceries in Jesus's name, right? Like mission can happen anywhere and everywhere. What if a win in outreach is helping someone get from a 10 to an 11? Or from a 25 to a 26, right? And so for me, this was kind of, a paradigm shifting thing, because I remember, you know, when I was in high school ministry, I'd be investing in high school students all the time, like just taking them out to lunch and sharing the gospel with them and just doing all these things, and they never came to faith, right? And then maybe a year or so later, they'd come to me and go, hey man, I heard this speaker and I became a Christian. I'm like, what? Like, well, I was doing all this work. What are you doing? But like, I can get frustrated with that. You know, but I was like, man, I got to be a part of kind of doing all this work to get up to a 49. You know what I mean? And so all of that wasn't wasted. That was just helping people along in their process. And then it's like once someone becomes a Christian, right, there's that whole process of sanctification, which Tyler talked about last week, right? It's becoming more and more formed into the image of Christ. That happens through our spiritual disciplines, right? And so, again, guys, evangelism, mission, it's a team sport. And the fourth and final thing that we do to live out this gospel identity is we celebrate progress, not necessarily only conversions. So truth number one is that mission starts with God. Truth number two is that we are God's missionary people. And finally, truth number three is that mission is a part of ordinary life, okay? Mission is a part of ordinary life. Now, I know that last point is a bit like anticlimactic. I mean, even as I was writing, I was like, oh man, that's just, I'm the hype man, you know? But it's like just, it's a part of ordinary life. It just feels a bit like a letdown, you know? But Jesus kind of models this for us really well, right? Jesus says, hey, mission is not this, you don't need to have all these programs, you don't need to have these special events, but mission is just a part of ordinary life, right? This is actually Total Church, that same book that had the rope illustration in it. This is their definition of mission, right? Mission is simply ordinary people doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality, okay? Ordinary people doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality, right? I'm pretty sure that the writers of Total Church ripped this straight off of Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 19. This is what Deuteronomy 11 and 19 says. It says, just so you know, a little bit of context, this is Moses kind of talking with the Israelites about what it looks like to follow God and how to train people up in how to follow God. He says, you shall teach them, right? These are like God's laws. You shall teach them to your children when you're taking them, you shall teach them to your children, talking to them when you are sitting in your house, when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up, right? Moses says, you don't need any special schools. You don't need special events. Just talk to your kids in kind of the normal rhythms of everyday life. Talk to your kids as you're walking along the road. Talk to your kids as you're laying them down at bed tonight. And obviously, parents, this is a text that's directed towards you, but this is easily applicable for all of us, right? Is that like, we don't need to do these crazy events, right? We just need to infuse gospel intentionality in everything that we're already doing, right? And like, this is what Jesus did, right? As he's walking with his disciples, he would say, hey, you see that farmer that's like throwing seed out there? That's kind of like the kingdom of God. You know that mustard seed that you see right there? If you had faith that was even that big, you could move mountains, right? Jesus just says, hey, this is what it looks like to be on mission. It's just every day. Do everyday ordinary things with gospel intentionality. Mission is ordinary people doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality. Now, I know some of us would maybe even push back on that a little bit and say, well, what about the missionaries who are going overseas to the hardest parts of the world? There's nothing ordinary about what they're doing. Well, I would say that, you know, when they get to wherever it is they're going, most of them are going to be doing like pretty ordinary things, right? Most of them are going to work jobs. Most of them are going to like throw neighborhood block parties and reach out to the people surrounding them. They're just doing it on the other side of the world. They're doing like what we should be doing here on the other side of the world. So again, I would say mission is ordinary people doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality. Now, guys, I got those are my three truths. Now I just have three very quick applications and then I'm going to sit down, okay? So the first application for you guys is one, would you pray for doors? Would you check doors? And would you respect doors where we live, work, and play? Now, could you guys imagine if that was a normal rhythm in our lives? Like if that was a normal rhythm in our church that we were constantly praying for doors, checking for doors, respecting doors, if we had 300 people that were saying, man, God, would you show me who I could invest in? Would you allow me to be intentional at my workplace? Could I pray for my neighbors, right? Could I get an opportunity to share what you have done in my life? Right, if we had 300 people doing that on a regular basis, man, it would turn Benson upside down. So application number one, would you do that? Would you pray, check, and respect doors where you live, work, and play? Application number two, a great place to be on mission, to be an ordinary person, do an ordinary thing, is right here at City Light Benson. So would you consider joining a serving team? So guys, once a year, we do something called Sign Up Sunday, okay? And Sign Up Sunday is today, okay? And during Sign Up Sunday, all of our city group leaders, or sorry, not city group, all of our serving team leaders, like they get together and they plan like really fun events for you to do just out there. Like you'll see it kind of when you leave there, but they plan these really fun events and they put an experience together of what it would be like to serve on their team, right? Whether that's serving coffee or leading a security team or cleaning, right? But I just want you to know the reason that we have these serving teams, the reason that we're doing this is not so that we can grow a church in a super fast way. It's not the new hip way to do anything, but we believe that serving teams, quite honestly, are the best way to mobilize us in this room to actually be on mission on Sunday mornings when we gather. It's the best way for us to use our gifts when we come together, right? We don't want people that just kind of pass out bulletins at the door or high-five people, but we want people that are looking to be used by God in order to minister to others. See, every single week we have people that come in here who are at the end of their ropes, right? People who walk in these doors whose lives are falling apart, whose kids have just blown their lives up, who they just got a really bad diagnosis, people whose finances are completely destroyed, people who are going through divorces, people who just need to know that God actually cares about them, right? And so most of those people, you know, they come in here and they think, okay, well, I tried everything else. My life kind of blew up. Maybe I'll try this Jesus thing. And I think what those people need more than a sermon on Sunday morning is to have someone look them in the eye and treat them like they actually matter, you know? So if you join the high five and hype team, right, you're not just there to give hugs to people as they walk through the door. You're there to pray and ask God Would you give me eyes to see people like you do? God, would you give me your Holy Spirit? Would you show me someone that I need to go and talk to, that I need to pray for, that I can ask them what their story is? Maybe ask them if they have someone that they're not sitting with, that I could go and sit with them. And we need people that are going to actually look to minister to people in those roles, right? So guys, if we approach like our Sunday morning gathering like we were on mission, gosh, it would change the way we go to church. It would change it from like a spectator sport to something that we're participating in right now. Because we're expecting God to use us as we come to church. It becomes a rush. You know, if you're not good, like we talked about, in meeting new people and engaging with them in that way and asking God to help you see people, man, maybe the way you serve, maybe the way you use your gifts this morning or for the future is to sign up for the visual engineers, right? They're the team that puts together all of our slides. They're the team that helps facilitate distraction-free worship so that people can bump into Jesus while they're here, so people through song and through worship can move one step closer to Christ. Maybe that's where you would use your gifts, right? And if that's not for you, you know, maybe you're a gifted evangelist and you take very seriously the idea that 80% of people who call themselves Christians came to faith before they were 10. And so you just think, man, I want to make disciples of kids, right? All of that, guys, is going to be available when we walk out of these rooms. And so I would just encourage you, would you sign up? Would you be a part of some of these serving teams so that you might use your gifts on Sunday morning when we gather? So you might be expecting God to work when you come here, to work through you, so that you might live on mission, even right here at our church. Lastly, as final application, man, is again, like Tyler said, we're throwing a barbecue in Benson Park, right? And again, Tyler's planning it, so we're going to have plenty of food. But there are going to be a lot of people, man, from our neighborhood who don't know Jesus, who are going to be there. And so if your gift is high-fiving people, meeting new people, I would encourage you to do that. If it's logistics and planning, I would encourage you to help us do that. If you're an inviter, bring as many people as you can. What if the barbecue was just another outworking of ordinary people doing ordinary things with gospel intentionality? City Light, we serve a God who's on mission, okay? We have been given the opportunity to be ambassadors for Christ and to be used to minister to a broken world. And City Light, it's been a joy to be a part of this with you guys. So many of you are doing this. And it's been an incredible thing to be a part of. May we, by the grace of God, continue to be ambassadors.